Welcome to Soundbites, true stories told by local Mainers and nationally recognized storytellers. The themes are always changing and the hosts are from all over the nation, but when you hear the name Soundbites, you're in for a unique storytelling experience. Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. This week's stories were told live at Frontier in Brunswick, where the event's dedicated theme was Black Flies and Backwoods. Here's today's host, a storytelling queen from Queens, Tara Clancy.
Are we feeling ready to bring up a next storyteller? Let's do it. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Samuel James.
I cannot tell you the amount of times I have said, I have got to get out of the city. I was on tour with another musician named Joe, and we had just played a club in Columbus, Ohio, that did not pay us. And when we asked the band that helped us put the show together why we didn't get paid, their answer was, nobody gets paid at this club. Sensing our anger, he tried to calm us down by saying, you know, it doesn't help that this place is run by junkies. To which Joe, both and I, we both agreed that no, that does not help. So Joe and I went to the truck, sat in it, and I turned to him and I looked him dead in the eye and I said, I have got to get out of the city. And so we did. We drove until the stars were more than the lights, there were more trees than buildings, and we began looking for a hotel. And that's when we happened upon a place called the Shamrock Inn. And while it looked like an incredibly haunted place, the Shamrock Inn sounded much luckier than that. So I waited in the truck while Joe went in to get the room. And in about 20 minutes, after he hadn't come out, I decided that was the perfect time to begin my investigation into his probable murder. I got out of the truck just as he was coming out of the Shamrock Inn, and he said to me, there are some people in there that I really want to tell you about. But it's probably better if you meet them. And me, with nothing else to do at 3 o'clock that morning, joined Joe inside the Shamrock Inn. Now, there are three things that happen immediately when you walk into the Shamrock Inn, and that is, first of all, you notice how bright it is. It is the brightest room in the world. They have those fluorescent lights that come in infinity watts. The second thing is they have a very impressive sound system that can get very loud. The music they chose to test the limits of the volume of the sound system, as you might guess, was Celine Dion. And the third thing you notice is that this is not now, nor has it probably ever been, any sort of hotel. There were no computers, keys, there was no front desk. But come with me around the room and I'll tell you what was there. Immediately to my right was a dresser with some drawers open, and inside the closest drawer was one half of one greasy paper plate. The next thing was a retail soda cooler that was open and leaning half on its side and empty. All the way across the room, on a small table, was a plastic landline phone that, if you listen real carefully, you could hear under the Celine Dion was ringing and ringing and ringing. And all the way in the back of the room against the wall was one of those glass cases that you might find in a deli filled with meat, except this was also empty. But on top of it was one half-eaten, half-slice of pizza, which I believe began in this drawer. As you walk in, you notice that the other half of the room has particle board booths, because this was probably some sort of restaurant at some point. And in that half of the room were two women. And from their age difference and physical similarities, I'm going to guess they were a mother and daughter. The daughter was sitting in one of the booths behind a keyboard, listening to and singing along with Celine Dion. She did not match her notes or her lyrics, but definitely matched her volume. The mother, on the other hand, was moving around the room at an incredible rate. The speed of a professional athlete. You might describe it as freshly wet cat. Moving at an incredible rate with also that energy. And what she was doing was adjusting things slightly. There was a salt shaker. She moved 1 inch to the left, 2 inches to the right, back into the center. A knickknack, she'd pick up 1 inch off its surface and replace it. But again, it was as though I was on pause and she was in fast forward. Until she notices me and Joe, at which point she comes right up to us and she says, what do you guys want? We're just looking for a room. Okay, well, how long do you want it for? 15 minutes. Huh? Just one night. We're just looking for one night. The thing I didn't tell you about her is that as she's moving around the room, she's also muttering to herself. She's muttering, well, where's Tom? Where's Tom? Where's Tom? Where's Tom? As she's moving these things, as though Tom is very small and she could find him at any moment. So she asks us what we want. We tell her we want the room. And she says, okay, well, where's Tom? Where's Tom? Where's Tom? And she proceeds with her manic manhunt. A moment later, that phone stops ringing. And in walks this small man. Not that small. He is wearing a baseball cap on the back of his head, goggles around his neck. He's wearing a tank top. He's wearing cutoff shorts. And he's also wearing full galoshes. And with the exception of the area just around his eyes, he's also wearing a very thick layer of dust. And he walks right up to us and he says, well, what do you guys want? Well, we're just looking for a room. Okay, well, how long do you want it for? 15 minutes. What? Just one night, just the night. He says, okay. And then he reaches into his holster and he pulls out his phone and he says, well, let me call Tom. Because somehow this man is not Tom. He taps his phone a few times, he puts it into his ear, and then this phone starts ringing again. And I turn to Joe and I say, you know, I think he's calling that phone. And Joe says, well, why don't you answer it and find out? And this is the moment that I realized that there is a very small chance that I died back in Columbus. And that all of my teachers and guidance counselors were right, and I ended up in hell. And if there is any chance, no matter how small, that I am doomed to spend eternity in this room, finding out over and over and over that in fact Tom the entire time had been me, I need to avoid that at all costs. So I go outside and the night air hits me and I realize that while I could only withstand 3 minutes inside the Shamrock Inn, Joe had spent 20 before coming to get me. And he comes outside and he says, well, what do you think? And I said, Joe, if we end up murdered in this meth lab, everyone will say we deserved it. And then we got in his truck, and I turned to him and I looked him dead in the eye, and I said, I have got to get back to a city.
He is an award-winning songwriter, one of the world's most innovative guitar players, and a Moth featured storyteller. James brings all of this to his live performances, which can be part theater concert, part stomping on the porch dance party, and or part stand-up comedy. He was born the last in a long line of performers, including dancers, storytellers, choir singers, jazz pianists, and porch stomping guitar thumpers dating back to the 1800s. One more time, ladies and gentlemen, for Sam Lozano.
Join us now for a conversation before the tell backstage. Our storyteller talked with the host to give us some interesting facts about them.
What is your connection to Maine?
I'm from Maine.
What got you into storytelling?
Everybody in my family is a storyteller.
What is your process for preparing to tell?
Oh, I just try to live a really weird life.
Tell us about one part of your story, some behind-the-scenes detail that you are not including in your tell tonight.
So at the end of the story, I leave, and we're trying to get from Columbus, Ohio to Brooklyn to play a gig the next night. It's a pretty long drive. We woke up late, 2 hours late, but it wasn't too late. We got to Brooklyn just in time for me to get on stage very nervously and play for no one.
Thank you.
Soundbites is made possible by the generous contributions of Allagash Brewing, Frontier, The Press Hotel, and by the listeners of Maine Public Radio. Special thanks also to Toad & Co. More information about Soundbites, including how to attend a live storytelling event, is online at soundbitesme.org. And of course, you can always hear more stories at mainepublic.org.